Zavut, Loran, il y a Vetarish, il y a Gavalio Polski, Chut-Chut. Not enough to do the full session in Russian. So I will do it in English, okay? And you will have to get used to my French accent, but I will try to speak slowly. And today we'll discuss Internet of Things, and I will show you Internet of Things through a real example. I did a similar session a year ago for those who were here. There are a lot of new things, just to let you know, so don't leave. The first thing is to define what's Internet of Things. It's a network of objects connected to the Internet, posting information, and then with this information, you do process this information, take decision, and that goes back to either the object, either other object, to have an impact on the environment. So it's something like that. In other words, for a developer, we can cut it in four big buckets. The first one, the devices, the things, the objects. The second one, the infrastructure, where you basically send the information. The analysis of the data, what you do with the data, how you can store them. Of everything. But this is, for example, all the services available today on Azure that relates to Windows IoT. We will go into a couple of those ones during my session, like EventOps, the SQL database, Stream Analytics, a bit of machine learning, Azure Websites as well, but I will not go into the details of everything. It's too many things. On the Azure side as well, to connect to any of those services, we are very, very, very open and we support almost anything. If there is a IP stack and the capacity to connect to the internet, you can connect to Azure. And today, those are certified devices. You get the code, you get all what you need to connect to Azure. On Linux, on Windows, on directly from C, it's not an issue. We do have as well a couple of Microsoft technologies like .NET Macro Framework. It's an open source implementation of .NET that works directly on very low-end processor. So for example, here it's a Netduino, and here it's a Gadgeteer. I will have an example with Netduino later. We've announced as well Windows 10 IoT Core. It's free, and you can use it on those three architectures. So Raspberry Pi 2, the Intel Edison Atom, and since a couple of days on the Qualcomm Snapshot 410C. And if you have one of those boards, you can download for free Windows IoT and you can connect. I have an example. We have as well other partnership like with Arduino, and you can use sensors that you have on Windows Phone, for example, from Arduinos, and vice versa, access from a Windows Phone or from a Windows device to Arduino, exactly the same way you will do it on an Arduino, but in a very transparent way. All those projects are open source, you have the code, you have everything. Okay, now let's go in a real example. And the real example is basically my house, and we'll start first with my garden. So I have a house, I have a garden, and I had a sprinkler system, but I was very disappointed with the sprinkler system. Basically, the only thing I was able to do was to program it in advance, and when I was leaving from vacation, I was praying to have the same weather, more or less. Otherwise, when I came back from vacation, it was too wet or too dry. So either I was a swamp, or either I was this. So I said, okay, I must do something. And you know, I had a couple of gadgets at home, like a couple of Arduinos, the Netduinos, access to Azure, free tools like Visual Studio, existing sensors like the Racon Scientific one, and of course, I had water in my garden to make the project available. So I've decided a couple of years ago to build a solution, and this solution started with this little part here, which is the sprinkler part. and I will show it at kind of the end of the presentation. And recently, last year, a year and a half ago, I've added many sensors in my garden for humidity, temperature, things like that. And I came up with this first solution a year and a half ago, which I was presenting here, where I had sensors going through a gateway. This gateway was posting the information on the Azure Mobile Services that was stored in a SQL Azure database and that went in an Azure website. I will have to be careful and not to fall down with the projector. More recently, because we had new services, I had the opportunity to use more new services, which I did. Of course, I'm kind of geek. So I use the latest things like Azure Event Hub, String Analysis. I've built my own APIs. I've built a recommendation workflow. I use a bit of machine learning. And I did something which I haven't done for the past version, which is a website and an app. And for the application, I've used a web app, JavaScript, and I've used Cordova to be able to build automatically this app on all platforms. And I've included as well Cortana, but that was just for fun, and it's not really working, I have to say. It's maybe my French accent, she doesn't like it. No, I'm joking, it's working, but okay, it was just to play. That said, I will go with the now with version 1 and version 2. I will explain you a bit more and focus on most of those bricks, advantages, inconvenience, what I was facing as issues, and what I can recommend. The architecture hasn't changed that much. I still have sensors. They are going through a gateway. The gateway has changed a bit to go to event. But I will explain as well why I had to change the gateway. So the architecture in V1 was kind of simple. I had particle.io, the old spark.io, to change the name. I used 433 MHz receivers. I've built my own sensors. Based on the Oregon Scientific Protocol, I was decoding then the information from this gateway, and this gateway was connecting to Azure. That was it. Worked quite well, actually. I mean, I have to say it worked quite well. This is, for example, one of the sensors for the wind. This is an Atmega 328. It's exactly what is used in the Arduino Uno, if you want, the main chip. It's very cheap, it costs $1, and it's a bit of electronics. Nothing very fancy, nothing very complicated. And I built then a beta version two years ago, which was like that. It stayed in my main room for something like 2 weeks, and then my wife came and said, "Is that going to stay here for a while?" And I said, "Why?" I said, "Because if it's still there in a week, it goes to the trash." I said, "Okay." Then I built a beta, and I bought a solar panel, a battery, and I've put everything in a box and in a garden. And well, it worked up to the point you get very bad weather, so the solar panel is not large enough, and the battery gets discharged. And things like that. But it worked. And I had other sensors like that. Then my son, last February, said, "Daddy, we should buy you a greenhouse because I'd like to have a plant, before summer." So I said, "Okay, let's buy a greenhouse." And I had in my mind this idea of having more opportunities to put more things in the greenhouse. So more gadgets, more boards, and test new things as well. So we had this greenhouse, and that's where I built a prototype of a V2. And this time, I wanted to use a Raspberry Pi, that was a V1, it was a year ago, almost, and a bit of hardware, so it's still the same thing, an Atmega, couple of sensors, wind and direction. I removed the solar panels, because first it consumed much more than the simple Arduinos. So I had to go for normal power. My idea was really to be able to test Linux, and I'm using Mono, but Linux in general on embedded boards, connect to Azure as well, do things like that. So I was able to play, and it's really working well. This is actually the version which is in my garden. So I put that in a nice box, it's closed. You can see the sensors there. There are sensors here, in the ground here, and some others around. So it worked very well. I wanted as well to use the concept of a gateway, and I have a Windows Server at home, so I'm using the server as a gateway. In order to do all those developments with Arduinos especially, I'm using Visual Studio plus an add-on called Visual Micro, and I can recommend you this add-on. It does integrate very well with Visual Studio. There is a free version which gives you basic features, and that does allow to have a better integration than the Arduino IDE. You still have to install the Arduino IDE because you need the compiler and stuff like that, but it's working much, much, much better. For the V1, my gateway was that. So it's a particle.io. Here you have a 433 decoder, which is under this white paper. The reason we have a white paper is basically the module type bots were very, very cheap. I just wanted to do tests. The problem, if you buy stuff which are wireless, which are very, very, very cheap, like the 433 megahertz decoder, is that you get a lot of perturbations, you know, from the air. So it didn't work that well. And then I remember, you know, whole courses I had when I was at school called the Faraday cage. Who does remember the Faraday cage? Yes. Well, good. So the Faraday cage basically is you put, you know, a cage of metal around something and then you isolate from the rest of the world. Which I did. So I take some paper, aluminium, paper, aluminium, paper, and you know, some aluminium, and then basically you put the aluminium to the ground, and actually you isolate quite well, I have to say. So it worked much better. Anyway, it worked quite well. That did allow me as well to receive all my network as well sensors, because they as well have some Oregon scientific ones. So that was quite fun. And I will come back to the point. So that was the V1. Now, in the V1, to post the information from this board, I was directly connecting to the Azure Mobile Services. Couple of reasons for that. That was the only easy to use services that we had in Azure 2 years ago. It's free, so that was good for me, good for usage. It's REST-based, so it's very easy to use. It's just HTTP protocol with text. So you can even do it on a very low-end hardware. And what you need for the hardware is really nothing. The board here, if I can go back, the board here, it's basically an Arduino with a Wi-Fi card. That's it. So it's very, very cheap, and it's very low-end. But it's working. So basically what you have to do to connect is send an HTTP request. It's just text, it's very, very simple. You have an header, you say that you want, you give a unique key, which is that you give in the header, the name of the service, the mobile services you want to reach, the content length, the content in JSON, and you send it. You receive a bit more text, but that basically to tell you that everything went correctly, and you can even receive the server. This is all the code you need to do in Arduino to post something in Azure Mobile Services. So it's very, very simple again. This is just to build a JSON, and this is really the code to connect. So you need to have a socket connection. So client connection, you connect on the Azure server with an IP address on port 80, and then you basically write your text. And that's it. That's all what you need. Okay. So very simple. Now, the key issues with those kind of solutions. It's not that secured. When I say not that secured, it's HTTP without any encryption, without nothing. So that's fine, you know, for my garden. I don't care. I mean, I really don't care. It's just temperature and humidity. At worst, you know, if someone hacks the key and sends more information, it will be like in the past. It's just going to be a swamp, like in the past. Nothing more. Or it's going to be a desert, or we'll die, and that's fine. You know, nothing more. But that's something to take in consideration for real project, and that's as well the reason why I play with a V2 and a gateway. It's to be able to have HTTPS or or other kind of protocol that are more secured. What you have to keep in mind as well is as soon as you want to include real security, encryption, stuff like that, all those small boards are not enough. It's nice, but you have to then spend much more money on that. I will not go into more details, but that's a very important one. Recently as well, with the Azure IoT Suite, we've announced the capacity to manage remote devices, authenticate them, revoke them, send them updating keys and do things like that. So there are many things that you can look at in this direction. I haven't played with it yet. So V2, using Azure Event Hub. Azure Event Hub is designed to be secure and to have millions of devices connecting at the same time and without losing anything. Okay, I had five sensors of temperature, humidity in my garden. That's not millions of devices, but I really wanted to play with the security and the rest. The good news is that it's working. It's working exactly the same way. This is the new the new console where you can create more easily things. And just to go back here, the way it's working, it's exactly the same thing. So you send an HTTP request, but it's an HTTP request, HTTPS request, and the code is very, very similar. But you have to support SSL, which is not the case in those small boards. So that's the reason why you need either a Raspberry Pi, either a gateway, either something which has a bit more power to make the maths. Okay, what to do with the data? You can do many things. In my V1, I store them in a SQL database and I was displaying them with an Azure website. In the V2, I was exposing API, consuming them as well from a web app, doing some recommendation, and as well as playing a bit with machine learning. There are other things you can do. You can just connect with Excel. It's just working, because Excel can connect with any kind of database, and I use it a lot for the prototype phase. The key reason is because it's easy. When you start to get data, you can do graph, you can do simple math and stuff like that. I will have to stop working on that. And when you have an issue, like here, for example, you can really clearly see it. So it's a great tool for those kind of prototypes. That was the first website. The website is still alive. You can still connect. It is very, very slow, and I'm not maintaining it. I just keep it for my demos when I go more into details. But you can build simple things, graphics, and stuff like that quite fast and quite easily. Same thing, what about security when you are exposing like that data or consuming data? So my website, the first version of the website was non-secured. So you can connect, you can change any data, you can delete sensors, you can basically do whatever you want. And for website, it's quite easy to secure, I have to say, because at least if you are using, for example, ASP.NET, you can integrate with Microsoft ID, Facebook ID, Google ID, Twitter, Open Authentication, Azure Active Directory, and more. It's mapped with role, so you define the roles, and then from the code, either as code, either as a tag in the code, you can define the access and the authority. I've used that for my home as well, and that's a project I will show you at the end, but I will not go in detail now. Keep in mind security, okay, when you're designing those kind of things. It's super important because in traditional project, usually the boundaries are quite, you know, defined. Here, you already see that there are the devices, the communication between the devices and the cloud or a gateway, the storage of the data, when you consume the data, who can access to the data and stuff like that. So keep security in mind during all your projects. It's super important. Now, I have the information posted through the Azure Event Hub and I can consume them, I can transform them. Azure Stream Analytics make it easy for those kind of things. So you have to imagine that you have millions of devices sending the information to the Event Hub, and then on the other side of the Event Hub, you have Stream Analysis taking this information and doing already some treatment. That can be selection of some data, that can be windowing, that can be transforming some of the data, that can be storing the data. In my case, what I did is really transforming the data. So I receive data like the speed, the direction, ID of the sensor, the temperature, and so on. And then I store them into two databases, one for the wind, one for the temperature. Okay. So there are things like that that you can do. And you can have multiple inputs, multiple outputs. You do it like if you are using a SQL server or a SQL request. And you can do things which I'm not doing here, like average. So for example, you can create your own data and say, okay, I will take all the information of temperature and I will do an average for 5 minutes and I will call it average. And then I will re-expose this information. So you can do already some very, very good things. There is some monitoring and alerts. And this is important because when you receive a lot of information, sometimes you may have information which are not correct, which are malformed and so on, and you need to be able to detect them. So for me, it was quite useful because once every minute, I receive a wrong information and I was not able to find it from my code because, you know, in my code, things were sending correctly. But on the stream analytics, it says that some stuff are malformed. And you can even receive alerts. You can plug a lot of things behind that. Okay, it's not only for debug. Imagine that you have, 20 or 20,000 sensors. One of the sensors is sometimes sending an information which is not correct. You can detect it directly through that. And you can put as well some intelligence behind. The website for the V2. So I use the web app and JavaScript. And the idea was to be able to, and it's still in progress for me in terms of development. And the idea was to be able to do both a website and an app. And I use Cordova, which is one of our technology, which allow to package this website to an app. Not only a Windows app, but as well an iOS app and an Android app. So you get a native app in any platform, but you need to be connected because it will use the website. But basically, you're packaging your website into a native app. And it did work very well. Well, you will have the URL in the presentation, and you can try to play with it. So it's under development, and that's that was about it. I said that I've developed as well a couple of APIs in my V2. So why APIs? The basic idea behind the APIs was to be able to access to those data from JavaScript, for example, from the website, as well from other applications. So far, my website is my sprinkler system is kind of isolated from the rest of my house. But I do have as well other things on my gateway, and what I want to do is to be able to interact with this website. And the best way to do it is basically to design API. This is all the code you need to basically design an API. So here it's a specific API which will gather the weather forecast on Yahoo, for example. You can do it in Bing, in Google, in Yandex, or wherever. It's just an API. And then it gives you an answer. This is just how you need to call this API using JavaScript, so it makes it very easy. You don't have the code to basically analyze the answer of the API, but it's not that complicated. What I realize when you create some API, yes, it does allow flexibility, yes, it does allow to be reused by other parts of the code or whatever, but you have to take in consideration that it does create some overhead. Rather than going natively and access an information, you are asking an API, and this API will ask for the information will go back to the API, and the API will re-expose this information. So it does create some overhead. So be sure when you want to create API that it's really needed. The second point is keep in mind about security again. It's again another way of exposing data. It's again another way where you have to make sure that the security is here. When you are calling an API from a JavaScript page, for example, you are exposing your JavaScript code to anyone. So you are exposing the keys and things like that in the code. So you better have to expose things that are anyway, you know, easy to, yeah, you can access it, it's still working, so it's the real key. You can access to this API, which does not do anything except giving you back some weather information and recommendation if it's time to sprinkle or not. But keep in mind those kind of things. Okay, so using API from JavaScript is good, but be careful of authentication where you are asking for the keys and things like that. So if you build an app, like I did with a website, you may, you know, have to add a couple of things for authentication in order to access those information. Here again, I don't care that much. It's just, you know, the temperature and humidity of my garden, but that can be sensitive information. So careful when you are using API as well. So we've done a couple of things quite fast, I have to say, you know, in almost half an hour. We've seen a couple of devices posting information, processing this information, storing this information, displaying some of this information. Now, what can I do with this information? That's all the idea of Internet of Things. I have tons of data. What can I do? How can I be smarter with those data? Multiple ways. I've tried machine learning. Took me quite a long time to try it. And I've built actually a model to predict if it's time to sprinkler or not. During a hackathon I had with some of my other colleagues in August, and that did allow me to learn a couple of things. First, if you're not a data scientist, building machine learning models is very complicated. I had to go back to some model of mathematics and, you know, those linear regression and stuff like that. So it's not that easy. Okay, if you're a data scientist, go play with it. If you're a developer, ask a data scientist to go play with it. Ask him to do something which is perfect. Create an API that you will be able to consume in your code. Okay, and this part was actually very straightforward to use. It does generate API if you want. You can then post information, get back a recommendation that, of course, is reflected by your model, things like that. That is working perfectly well. An example that you can use, which is based on machine learning models, is APIs for face recognition that we are providing for free on machine learning. So you can send a picture and it will recognize the face. I don't know if you've seen a demo which was how old are you, how old .NET, and people were uploading pictures and it was giving you the edge. I mean, that machine learning was recognizing you. It's using those kind of API. And it takes, build something like that, it takes really 5 minutes because the API are very, very easy to use. So if you're not a data scientist, ask a data scientist to play with the data. And you, as a developer, just consume the data. What I've learned as well is that you have to have some very, very, very clean data. What I had as data was basically all the temperature and humidity I had in my garden, but I didn't record it the time when I was sprinkling. So to do a recommendation on when do I need to sprinkle without having this data was kind of useless. Okay? So I invented a couple of data to be able to build this model. But this is all these machine learning things is really smart. You can do tons of things in a very, very, very detailed, but you need to have good data, the knowledge, but as a developer, you can consume API. And that's what is very interesting. I've used as well Power BI. Why not, you know? I have a lot of data to display. I can display them with graph, etc. Same thing, I've realized that some of my data were not that clean in terms of storage, that I had to transform them in order to be able to display them correctly by month, by date, by name, and so on. Still, well, you don't see it very well, but you can get a couple of interesting things. You can see clearly when it's winter, because the humidity side here is quite high, or when it's summer. You can see as well that when you are using some sensors with a solar panel and the cat from the garden, the cat from the neighbor is working on it and then put your sensor down, you're missing a couple of data, okay, which happen somewhere here. Stuff like that. It's a very interesting solution. This is more than for the end user than for the developer, but if you have good data, you can plug them directly from your base. What I did as well during an hackathon in August, where I played with the data, is I asked a friend to build with me a DevOps motion. So DevOps is kind of buzzword those days. It's mean a developer operation. And the full idea of DevOps is to be able to automate a maximum of things. And from the provisioning to the tests, to the security, to all of that. And so we've done that on my project. And basically DevOps is two things. It's processes and tools. So first you have to define all the processes and the tools you will use in a recurring way. So for example, the first things you need to do for a project like that is to provision a couple of things on the database, website, the tests. For example, unit tests. We've run a couple of unit tests. I have to say that I haven't tested everything in my code, okay? But normal developer like you should do a lot of tests. And you should be able to automate those tests. What was interesting as well is we've played a bit with that, is when you do those tests, if the tests are okay, then you push the code, for example, either in GitHub or directly on the server in Azure. And then from here, you can put this version as a test version in Azure. You have the ability to do that and redirect part of the traffic to this version, test if it's working, which means no errors. And if there is no errors after some time, you can push automatically this version as a production version. So as a developer, every time you do a build, there is this kind of automation that is done automatically. And you don't even have to care about what's happening after. If it's not working, you get alerts, of course. And then you know that you have a bug in your code or there is something to fix, etc. And it can go, you know, very, very far up to the security, up to analyzing what's happening, and then give you some insights. So that was very interesting for me. And always include, you know, some IT guys, at least for the security, the deployment and stuff like that. And those kind of methodology can really reduce the time of developing. Exposing the API humidity function, you've seen a bit of that previously with the weather. So in the V2, I've done that through API and through HTTPS. For the V1, the way I'm exposing back the humidity information are through the Azure Mobile Services. So you can create a custom API directly. You can use JavaScript or you can use C# if you want to build those API. I wanted to try a bit of C# for that. It's working perfectly well. It goes quite fast. Something I haven't mentioned about the Azure Mobile Services is that you can use as well for HTTPS. Okay. So, and it makes an easy way for application or when you don't have millions of devices to connect, it's working just perfectly. But in my case, I really need HTTP because my sprinkler board, which you will see in a moment, was not supporting HTTPS. So that's the sprinkler board. It's in there. I will just go to the next slide. It's a Netduino, so it's working on .NET Macro Framework. .NET Macro Framework is an open source implementation of .NET, which works directly on the metal. So there is no OS, no Windows, no Linux, no whatever. It's like when you are using an Arduino and you are compiling with C. Here it's the same principle, but you're using .NET. The good news with those kind of boards is that the pins are compatible with Arduinos, so you can reuse shields and things like that. It's much faster in terms of processor and speed that you can have for the same price range. And if you are like me, a big fan of .NET, you can, of course, do .NET development on those boards. There are a couple of limitations, of course. .NET is a managed code implementation, so anytime you need to do some very, very, very real-time things, of course, it's more complicated. But most of the time, you don't need some very, very real-time things. And if you need some very, very, very real-time, you can always use an Arduino, which costs $1, I mean, just the Atmega, and then connect it through I2C or SPI or Serial or whatever, And then Avid just do what it's supposed to do and do the more advanced things there. So what I've done with that is that I've re-implemented, I have ElectroValves, which I pilot with the board. So the board is connecting to that, which you don't really see, but that's better like that, which is basically a simple automate, but it's I'm really using it just as an open transistor. So basically, whenever I give a signal on one pin, it's just an open transistor. So then that give current to those electrovalves and the water goes through. So very, very simple. But in the board, so that's a development I've done 4 years ago now. I've re-implemented a web server in .NET, micro framework, into those boards with a couple of pages. So what does it does is, I will show the screen capture. So basically you connect, you can see a couple of zones, you can click on a specific zone, you arrive on a web page, you can select your date, and then you can select when you want to, I'll go back here, when you want to sprinkler, and etc. I've designed as well this for being able to have it without any web interface, so like for API, REST API, so I was able to pilot it from an app, for example, which I'm using in the V2. So in the V2, I'm using this capacity of my board to be able to be piloted like that. It was quite a lot of fun to implement a web server and a dynamic web server. This is the code which is needed to consume the Azure Mobile Services. It's working in a very similar way as I show you with the Arduino to post the information. Basically, it's just HTTP, so you send an HTTP request, and you get an answer, and you consume it in your code. So here the code is quite straightforward anyway. You create an HTTP client in .NET. The HTTP client just makes it easier to connect to a socket. You send the information, then you get the answer, and when the answer, if the code is 200, which means okay, you can do whatever you want. So those kind of things are very, very easy to use. Again, couple of limitations with those kind of boards. No HTTPS, because they are not they do not support SSL. They are not powered enough for that. But if you are connecting to a gateway, for example, inside your house, this is a minor issue. So on the device, at the end, how it does look like, it's like that. So you send the information, you get back the information, and it tells you that it's time to sprinkle. I've developed, of course, a function which is fully automated. When I go on vacation, I say, I trust this system, so sprinkler whenever you want. It's programmed not to sprinkler all the time, of course, overnight. It's checking if the humidity is correct, and then it does sprinkler. So that's for the board. Does it fully work? Yes, it does. It does. This is the fruits I got last year in my garden. This year I came back from vacation too late. So those are peaches, and I came back on vacation 4 or 5 days too late, and most of the peaches were on the ground. That does happen. So I was not able to do as many marmalade as I was last year, but it does work very well. Of course, as I'm a geek and as I still have a lot of things to explore, I wanted to explore the Raspberry Pi 2 running Windows IoT Core, which is the new version of Windows 10 for IoT. And I've ported the all the code from the .NET board, the .NET Framework board, into the Raspberry Pi 2, and it's working. So this part is working. What I haven't ported yet is the access of all the Azure services, because I want to redevelop this part in a proper way. And I want, as I have a gateway, I want to add a bit more things. What I will do as well is I will port what I've done on the Linux board in the garden as well on the Raspberry Pi 2 to see how it's working. The good news with this kind of board is that it costs, I mean, almost nothing. It's $25 or €25, €30. And here you can support directly HTTPS. So you can connect directly to the services in a much more secured way. And the way I'm using those ones is are mainly Wi-Fi, so you don't need to have cable. And I have tons of things I want to try, okay, in my garden as well, in my playground. And that's the way I can play with all those Azure services. And on all services, I mean, we can spend, you know, 1 or 2 hours doing the same thing, going in details on everything. But here, it's just a preview. So I have lots and lots and lots of projects. Next summer, for sure, the Raspberry Pi 2 will replace the Netduino running Windows IoT Core. There will be more things on the greenhouse with automated opening and closing depending on the temperature. This is already working in beta and stuff like that. And the most important for me is really to be able to continue to play, to learn, and to use all those gadgets in a fun way. If you want to start somewhere, I can recommend you the windowsondevices.com website. And here you have all the code and you have everything to be able to play with the Windows IoT Core, but as well code to use the Arduinos as a shield from Windows. On the Azure website, and you have links to the Azure website, you have all the code and everything that you need. If you, for example, have a Linux board and want to post code and send information to Azure. But that's not all. I have a basement as well, not only a garden. And you know, as a good French guy, I'm a bit of fan of good cheese, good wine, good food in general, but good wine. So this is my basement with some of my wine, and there is more than 500 bottles. And it was always a nightmare because when I was doing my inventory, it was on paper. Okay, and I had those papers in the basement, and every time someone was, for example, trying to get this bottle of Chardonnay 2010, because I drink quite a lot of Chardonnay, you know, after 2 or 3 months, you don't exactly know how many bottles are left, and you may even do, you know, a mistake and use another line to change the number of bottles. So that was terrible. And last Christmas, I had a dream. I had a dream about QR code. I said, oh, I should use QR code. Because it's cheap, it costs nothing. And you know, everyone has a phone. Now you can scan, you know, QR code for any kind of phone. And I said, oh, I should use QR code. And I will develop just a, you know, simple Azure website with a database. I will store the information there, and it will work like that. And actually, just that's what I did the 26th of December. And I spent 5-6 hours to develop the full website. So how it's working? It's a very simple website. Actually, you can connect. If you scan the code, you can connect to the website. This time it's secured, okay? So if you scan the code, you will be redirected, or this code is the same one, to the website. The way it's working is that the data is stored in a simple SQL Azure database. It's secured. It's a secure login password website using a Microsoft ID. In order to be able to decrease the bottle, you have to do that. I'm using MVC, so the way it's done is this URL is basically the URL that will decrease by 1 or by 2 or by whatever, but it's by 1 because it's 1 bottle, the number of bottles I have from this type. As easy as that, okay? So I'm using Windows Phone, but it's working with Android, it's even working with iPhone to decrease that. The QR code, I generate them directly. You have plenty of classes and open source classes which allow you to generate a QR code. And the way I'm doing the inventory, so the application is for 5 hours to develop. The inventory of the basement was 3 times 4 hours, so about 12 hours of inventory with one of my kids. It was nice to do that with me. And the way I do it is I just copy-paste this code, put that in a Word document, and I print this Word document on sticker, and then I cut the stickers and I put them on the bottom. It's as easy as that. Reporting, I'm using Excel. It's just working to do the reporting. And that does allow me to do very interesting statistics. Now I know how many bottles I'll drink per year. I know when I drink those bottles. I know that sometimes when I'm traveling, no one is opening any bottle at home, or they don't tell me. So things like that. The red lines are weekends. So now I know that I drink more over weekends than during the week. But still, in average, it's a bit less than one bottle per month. The thing is that I'm traveling quite a lot. And in the week I'm traveling, I'm not drinking at home, okay? And that's, well, and I can do more statistics, so who at home can, you know, scan the bottle, etc. But that's not really relevant, because every time someone gets a bottle in the basement, they say, oh, I forgot my login password. Oh, I don't have my phone, can you scan it? So in the statistic, on those 149 bottles, I had 120 just for me. But I was not, I'm not the only one drinking those bottles. So that's, you know, simple things like that as well, and how you can connect things. Sometimes people ask me, but why not RFID, you know, and NFCs and things like that? I say, well, that costs, you know, about $1 per bottle. I'm drinking $200-something per year, so I prefer to drink the wine than drinking the RFIDs, which I cannot reuse, so the paper is working better. The other thing is that the QR code, I'm 100% sure that in 20 or 30 years, I will be able to read them again, while the NFCs, you know, who knows about those kind of things, not that sure. Anyway, so just to finish before taking questions, an IoT project can be quite complex. Many technologies can be involved. You've seen that in my presentation. You may have the choice between various technologies as well. From the device side, to the infrastructure, to the data analysis, to the insight. So that can be quite complex. Security as well is something that you have to take care of from the beginning to the end, from the end to end, for the authentication, to be able to store the data, to consume them, etc., etc. That said, cloud technology, and especially Azure, make it very easy to store the data, to consume them in various ways. Again, I mean, if I just take my basement, it's 4 hours of development to be able to do what I've done. Okay, so quite straightforward. Tools like Visual Studio, I just love it. There are free versions now, use them. They are very, very complete. You can do cross-platform development. You can even do Linux kernel debugging if you want with a latest version. So that's about it. Question now. We have time for question. Yes.
Hi. My question is, do you think about offline version? Because if we copy your version to a second to, for example, Ukraine, yes. We probably will have some problem because I see that you doesn't think about power if, for example, light switch off. So in Ukraine, it's very often, and you probably can install a solar panel, but what do you think about internet?
Yes.
So maybe you can write some functional which work with this code.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons. So just to repeat the question, if I understand the question correctly. So what about offline, so not being connected? And so it's basically the question. And that's not good advertisement for Ukraine. I never had any electricity issue in Ukraine. It's working all the time here when I'm here. So maybe I should come often, right? So yes, and that's the reason why I was thinking about the gateway. And I have a gateway actually which does that. The idea for my gateway is to develop a bit more my gateway so that it can store as well a couple of information. Or at least if there is no internet, then the boards can fall back to the gateway, something like that. So I'm thinking about those kind of scenarios because that's real scenarios, not only because there is no internet. If you think about, I don't know, a mobile application, you know, you're in a car or you're gathering data from a car or from an animal or whatever, it can be totally out of signal. So you have to store enough data at some point before sending them. So that's the kind of things, and it's in my, actually it's in my to-do list. Here to do more things with the gateway. Yes, add more intelligence locally with the gateway for those kind of scenarios. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The gateway can be very smart or can be simple. It can be either, you know, the Raspberry Pi actually here in this, where is the picture? Okay, the Raspberry Pi here in this architecture is already playing kind of gateway because it has many sensors connected and I have multiple ones, so you can have gateways of gateways as well. But here my server is a smarter gateway, I would say. So yes, gateway definitely. Other questions? I saw other hands raising before. Yes.
I have quite a list of questions, and I'll start with those that interest me most. So you have a controller that turns off the water.
Yes.
What's the name for that?
Sprinkler.
This one. Sprinkler. Okay.
Yes.
So the Windows IoT Core, is yes. It free?
Yes, it is free.
Download. Wonderful. And what about Azure Mobile Services?
So the Azure Mobile Services, so used in V1 here, this is free if you don't have millions and millions of requests. Huh. This one is free. It can be HTTPS as well. The thing is that here, my previous gateway was not smart enough to have HTTPS. But it can be HTTPS. For example, it's used a lot for mobile app as a backend, so that you can access from an Android app or iOS or Windows app to Azure Mobile Services, and that does a lot of work from the database. So that does hide a lot of things from the database, and it's actually working very well.
Thank you. And what about, so as you use HTTPS, and that requires maintaining the pool of root certificates.
Mm-hmm.
So you need Windows to update somehow, or you need to maintain them yourself?
Well, you can do, there are multiple ways to do it with SSL, but you can do like in the, for example, in the, you can accept as well remote certificates, so you can embed your own certificate in the board and you can send your own certificates. So there are many ways to go through this certificate issue. The reason why we have announced those services, I will go just here, those services here with the Windows IoT Hub is to be able to manage devices, send new certificates, authenticate those devices, etc. Uh-huh. Because that's a need. Be careful when you go in those kind of direction, because then your remote devices need to have more processing, storage, capability to update, etc. So basically, you will not be able to do it with simple devices, and you'll need, you know, quite heavy network as well. Doing SSL or doing HTTPS or doing things like that does require a larger bandwidth as well. So it's always a compromise between simple, easy, fast solution, the value of your data, the risk of exposing those data, vs more costly solutions and manageability.
Thank you.
And so my wine is more protected than my garden.
Yeah, and the solution with the wine, so we have the website, web yes. services, printing QR codes,
yes.
and a mobile application.
Yes.
All in 5 hours.
Yes. And more time for the inventory than for the development. I can show you the code. It's very, very easy. There is almost nothing, seriously. It's really simple. You create the database, that's the most complicated thing, so what you want to store. So basically, it's an ID, the type of the wine, the description, the color of the wine, the year, the quantity, stuff like that, where it's stored, if you need to keep it for years. And that, you know, that's one table. What is a bit more complicated is then the security, but there were templates for that. So I just started with a secure website in AzureSP.net. So I get all the security things managed for me. I just had to create the roles. That's it. And then basically in the MVC model, so create a controller that will manage creating or updating my database, plus the QR code. The QR code was, I spent 30 minutes to find some open source code to be able to generate QR code. That's it. And 20 seconds to put that into my code. Because it was just straightforward, very easy. So there is, 100 lines of code, not more than that.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. Any other question? Yes.
Could you tell me how much cost the project, Springer project, in total?
Oh, well, a lot of time, because I've done a lot of things. In total. So let me go to the main chart. Where is it again? So I will go with the V2. This part, so the board is 30 euro when I bought it. 30. This one, someone gave it to me, but it's like three open transistors or four open transistors, so let's say five. This one costs 15 per, those are electrovalve, 24 electrovalve, and it's quite costly. It's 15 euros, $15 approximately. Yes, it's 24 volts, they need to have some pressure, etc. So here, that was kind of costly. I already had the server at home here for the gateway, so let's say nothing. A Raspberry Pi V1, I used the A plus model, so the small one, which cost about $10. Atmega here is $1, and those kind of small sensors, it's $1, $2, $3 per sensor, so it's not that much, but let's say $50. What cost quite a lot was the wind and wind direction plus the rain sensor, that was about $60 or $70, something like that. That's for the hardware. In terms of software, the Azure website, you have a free hosting. So you can use FreeHosting. For example, for my wine cellar, I'm using FreeHosting because I'm not accessing it that often. As I get the limit of my FreeHosting, I had to use a standard one because I have multiple websites, the paid one, but the FreeHosting can work. Event Hub and Stream Analytics, I use them because I really wanted to use them for my projects. In the V1 here, the Azure Mobile Services cost me zero. The database costs me zero because it's a small database and I don't have access to it a lot. So this V1 here, in terms of Azure, zero. Here, a bit more. It's about 30 euro per month because I have the Azure Stream Services, the Azure Hub, Stream Analytics. The website is running all the time. I have a couple of APIs and I have things running in it. But seriously, here, for something that simple, it's $0 if you want to do it yourself at home and you don't care that much about security and you want to play nicely with it. So all up, couple of hundred euros to have a lot of fun and develop.
That's good.
Yes, that's it. Any other question? How much time do we have? 2 minutes. So one more question.
Thank you very much for such an excellent presentation. It's quite brings much inspiration.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, is it possible to have a copy of your
slides?
Excellent,
yes, of course, yes. I don't know if they will post it after the presentation, but what you can do is just send me a mail. Where is my mail? And I can send to you the presentation. Wow, we have lots of slides. So here. Laurel@microsoft.com, and I will send you back the presentation.
Thank you.
Most of the code, by the way, is published on my blog, blogs.msdn.com/laurel, and you have most of the code and everything. And if you need the full solution, like for the wine cellar, I can send it to you as well. It's not an issue. I just need to remove my password for the SQL database. I have put it in the code.
Thank you.
My pleasure. 1 minute, so No, no. Okay, I have to stop. So thank you very much and have a good conference.